Hi, everybody. We're live today. We're trying our new mental health podcast. We're trying to stay more regular with the episodes. Dr. Darlene Spirlaza, the dean of the
How are
school,
you?
she's a dean and she's also a nurse and she's got her doctorate. And we're
Hi,
here to help
everyone.
you. Sorry. Hi, Darlene. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to be here, and it's nice to have be with everybody and talk about the very important stuff that we're going to talk about with spirituality and uplifting stories and our medical care and all of it today. So, pretty good.
Yeah. What is new with you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What's new with everybody? I mean, it's the first of the year. We've been through Christmas and New Year's, and I don't know about where everybody else is at, but I do know that here in Weirton, we had a little uptick of RSV and influenza A and COVID. So we had a lot of sick people over the holidays. So hopefully
Let's
that will hit
pretend.
everywhere.
Let's pretend like this is January 1st today. Like we're starting our new year now because the last
Perfect.
2 weeks have been really hectic. And
That's for sure.
it doesn't feel real yet that it's 2024. So we're going to start today. Happy New Year. We hope this is the best year of your life. And you're younger than you'll ever be right now.
That's awesome. Isn't it awesome to think about it that way? And that is true. That is very true. And yeah, I think people were looking forward to 2024. It seemed like 2023 was extremely busy for a lot
And
of
very
people.
difficult.
Yeah, and very difficult. And I think that's the reason why is I've been doing some more research and some more study into the spirituality process. And I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking now more than ever is a great time to talk about spirituality, which is not religion, by the way. Two separate things, kind of in the same ballpark, but not the same. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about God shots. Let's talk about what we've got going on for the new year and all the exciting things there. And I think we should have a really great show for our folks.
I love what you just said. And also, spirituality and mental health, they go together. It is really the answer that I've found. There's nothing in the material universe that can fix you permanently, but your change of heart and thought, like your change of your, it's almost like a psychic change happens to people when they grasp the inner work. All the answers are inside you. And the more I talk to people in recovery and sponsees and people going through trauma and trouble, they all are so affected by the outer world. And yet that isn't your boss.
That's
You really
correct.
can make a choice to have an incredible life if you'll go to your core and find out what you really want, what your values are, what your intentions are, and to live your life with a moral code, a moral code. There is a rightness and a goodness in the universe that's a law. It's an actual law. And once you're aligned with that law, life flows better.
It
And a
sure
lot
does.
ailments seem to disappear. I was so happy last week when I got this good news about my screenplay that my headache went away, my footache went away. I'm like, whoa, joy brings healing. And I want
It
to
does.
find more of that message. So you did a study recently. I'd like to hear more about it. Or you did a lecture, a
A
talk about it.
recent, yeah, I did a talk on spirituality, and I don't know how many people are listening that know, as a practitioner, I deal with body, mind, and spirit. And a lot of times we are so busy dealing with the mind through psychology, psychiatrists, medications, things like that, and the body through the physicians and medications, once again, and all the testing that we do. And we forget about the spiritual piece. But I think what you just said about spirituality is so important because there isn't a person on this planet that probably would not agree that we are mind, body, and spirit. But then the question becomes, what exactly is spirit?
Yeah, what is spirit?
What is spirit? Spirit, I believe, is the higher good. You
Yeah.
can. It's just the higher good. It's the universe. Some people, there's many different connotations. I think the most common connotation in our country anywhere is God.
Yes.
Some people say Jesus. We have all types of different
Some say
connotations.
Buddha or the
Yes.
Tao, but
Yes.
to me, spirit is your thoughts. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, thoughts make the man. Where you put your thinking is where your life goes. Think about that.
It's
Thinking
true.
doesn't mean ruminate all day long about the terrible things going on. If you just keep looking at the news all day or the bad things in your life, that will become your reality. It's keeping your thoughts above the problem. Yes. Like Einstein said, no problem can be solved at the same level of consciousness that created the problem. You can't fight fire with fire. You can't fight alcoholism with more alcohol and drugs. You can't really create peace by war with more bombs. It's a peaceful, diplomatic, spiritual. Spiritual means the higher thought, like you said. It's
right.
It's also inside you. The answers are really within us. You can't really paste them on from the outside.
And I'll tell you what, I've been reading a book recently by Matthew Kelly, and it's called The Rocking Chair Prophet. Very fascinating book. And it is basically based on a man that was working on Wall Street and had everything that you would want, you know, with finances and a home and the picket fence and all of that, until one day he didn't, when both of his daughters and his wife were killed in one car accident. And yes, can you imagine? And when that type of real tragedy, real trauma happens, how do we deal with it? And in his book, he talks about walking away and leaving everything and just going to be alone. Because, you know, sometimes you get to that point, but he found that it's gratitude. Gratitude. And how can you be grateful for something like that, right? That's horrible, horrible. But it's like just conjuring up something to be grateful for within yourself, no matter how bad it looks.
Right.
Because I think we all realize that when we focus on gratitude, more of it comes into our life.
Absolutely.
When we focus on negative, more of that comes into our life. And it's kind of like what you said, what we think about is what will become. Where the mind goes, the man follows. So you may not be in a position right now where you say, oh, I'm in the best spot and I absolutely love my life. But if you can find one thing that you love and focus on that, more will come. And then one day you just wake up and it's like full of gratitude.
Yeah, what's weird about that is that I used to say that statement out loud and I went, do I really believe that? Until I practiced it, until I started looking for the good. A friend called me the other day and she said, all these bad things are happening. I go, what's good in there though? Where's the silver lining? Is there anything good? And she goes, yeah, wait a minute. And the very next day she said, oh my God, I saw the good in this day and it turned around. And then the people came forward with good news. It was a nurse and her mother had fallen in the hospital and some terrible things happened. And then all this good came out of it because she was able to be there and she was able to meet the right people for the solution. And I love this. It says here, repetitive complaining will attract things for you to complain about. Repeated gratitude will attract things for you to be thankful for. It's like,
isn't that awesome?
It's really hard. But if you constantly look at the bad things going on in your relationship, that will increase. It's almost like it will magnify. You have a magnifying glass on your life on what you focus on. And the minute I started looking for the good things going on, they multiplied. And the bad things diminished. And it's really bizarre how you can't expect one mate in your life or one friend to provide all your needs. You don't get everything from your one boyfriend or your husband. You get those from other people. You can get, you know, like he makes me laugh. But I get my spirituality from you, Darlene, and friends of mine and people in recovery. But I don't need all that. One person isn't our higher power. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I think that, you know, there's a misconception that two halves make a whole. So if two people come together, then they become whole and it becomes good for them. Not so. You have to be whole on your own. And then when you come together with somebody, it just blossoms into something bigger.
Exactly.
You know, and I want to step back for 1 minute because you had asked me about the talk I had recently given at the university, and it was about spirituality. And one of the things that I didn't know for the longest time in my life, and I always say for years, I've been leaning my ladder against the wrong house that's on fire, right? It's just, I didn't know where I was going, man. My ladder was in the wrong place. But here's how to find out, and I never knew this. You can take spiritual gift tests online for free.
Oh, wow.
And it will give you, I mean, there's multiple sites. Now, one site that I really like is called codachrome.org. Yeah. And it's lengthy. It probably takes about 20 minutes. Extremely accurate. And it'll give you.
Codachrome.org?
Yes. Koda, like the camera. from, or the song.
I'll post these links in the chat later when we have our upload to Spotify.
Okay. Yeah, and that way it's so codachrome.org, and it's a little lengthy test, but maybe 20 minutes. But once you take it, it gives you your top spiritual gifts. And most people look at their top three. Okay. And I remember when I first did it, mine came out like exhortation is always number one for me. I was so naive and uneducated about spirituality. I thought it said extortion. And I'm like, I don't extort anybody or anything. I was like, but here's the cool part. So I started looking, I started researching. I'm like, what is exhortation? What does it mean? How does this work? And so in my internet search, I found a doctor by the name of Bill Wilson, who was William Wilson, who was a professor emeritus at Duke University and has spent his whole life on the topic of spirituality, lots and lots of papers and books and just really good stuff. And so I reached out to him via email. And my daughter, William Wilson, I know, see the connection there.
That's a God talk. Coincidence.
Yeah, that's very cool. So anyway, so when I contacted him by email, my daughter-in-law, who's a very big academic, said, do you understand what Professor Emeritus is? Like, he's busy. He won't be getting back to you. And do you know he did? Not only did he email me back, he called me. And he helped me understand the next level of spirituality and how that works. Wow. And so just by starting to take a test and understanding how you're made, because we're each unique individuals with individual gifts, you know? And so once we find out what our gifts are and we swim in that vein, if you will, it's very powerful, extremely powerful.
Oh, that's really cool. But involved in your doctoral studies and your nursing degree and all the things you do in the health field, how did you merge the two ideas in your lecture the other day? It was a topic I was trying to hear about.
You know, I think I can show you. I mean, I got this ready so I can show you. So this book right here, which is I don't know if you can see it. It's a basic nursing text. Basic
nursing, yeah.
And this is actually used in colleges all over the United States for students that are coming into nursing. The reason I'm bringing this out is because I was a contributor to this book. The chapter that I wrote was spirituality. And the reason why you say, how do you merge it? It's because here, and it's a key point that's in this nursing book, and it says, today, spiritual care cannot be overlooked. Area of nursing practice. Professional standards of care make clear that meeting patients' spiritual needs is essential to provide holistic nursing care. It's essential. And this is the Joint Commission. This is the American Nurses Association Code of Ethics. This is a big deal for people to understand that not only does it make your life better, but it's part of medicine. It's part of mainstream. And
nobody said that earlier. I remember medicine always said, no, we don't deal with spirituality. You know, the word God we love, but some people don't want to hear the word God, but I love, you know, it's a cool word. God Shots is the title of our podcast, but they want medicine and spirituality never mixed before. It seems like kind of a new thing.
And well, I don't think it was. I think clear back in like the Florence Nightingale days when, you know, this all first started in the Crimean War, I think that they realized it was important, but then somewhere along the way, we became very technological and looking at, you know, disease, and we looked at disease instead of wellness. So we looked at disease instead of health.
That's the problem. So now we look at disease and not health.
Exactly. So now we're looking at more holistic care and what works. And so now back to my study at the University of Alabama, when I was going to school there to get my doctorate. So I did something that was very unique back in the 2006 to 2011 timeframe that people weren't really doing. And I did a study on spirituality. And we had a cohort of patients that had cholesterol levels of 230 or above, that did not want to take any medication, no type of statin drugs, no diet change, no exercise change. It was just the obstinate people that were like, I'm good. I don't care if it's a little bit high, leave it be. But if you're medical, you know that as that's trending up, that's dangerous for your cardiac system, right? So I did this study, and basically what this study did, and I know this is going to sound really silly, but it was prayer. all I did was incorporate prayer with these people. And we did a 12-week study. We did a pre-Likert test. And for those of you that don't know, it's just like basically a 5-questionnaire. Like, are you angry most of the time, some of the time, all the time? Are you overwhelmed most of the time, all the time, some of the time? So we had 5 questions. We had a pre-test and a post-test, same questions. We did a lipid panel, drawing blood before it started, and we did the blood draw after it started. Here's the interesting thing that happened. 75% of the study participants had a decrease in their cholesterol, had a decrease in their LDL, and an increase in their HDL, which is exactly what happens when you take a medication like Lipitor. Exactly what happens. And we did it. They didn't have to do anything else. They didn't change the diet. They added prayer. Here was a very interesting factor that really should be followed up on in additional studies. And maybe it is. I haven't really been watching those closely over the past 10 years. But the interesting thing was the participants that said in the beginning, they are angry most of the time or all of the time. If that did not change with that prayer therapy, and they still remained angry, their cholesterol levels were even higher at the end of the study.
Okay, so let's stop for 1 second. I want to do you a few definitions here. Prayer can be also called, to me, I call it the invisible transfer of love to another or to yourself, or the intention to heal, an intentional belief of love, a loving attitude toward your problems, toward your illness. And you can actually, I actually whisper into my son's thoughts at times, and I whisper into people's thoughts that are suffering, going, you are courageous, strong, and perfect. You're healthy, you're vibrant, you're thriving. And I honestly believe that all the good, the constant, sending good thoughts to people is prayer to me. You don't have to have some weird religious thing. You don't need rosary and all these weird, coins. You don't have to bow 9 times to the left or the east, west or whatever. It's not a materialistic thing. It's simply an inner belief and thought without panic, without worry or fear. Thank you for healing my friend today. Or whatever the universal thought of love that you call it.
It could be very simple. And, a prayer can be this simple. It's like, God bless Lydia. God change me. If I have something that I'm holding against you, right? It's not about you. It's about me. And it's about my change.
What Darlene is saying is that when we have a resentment, it's usually hurting us. It's like we take the resentment is a poison that we're drinking and it hurts us. It doesn't hurt the other person. But
that's right.
If you pray to change yourself and your own attitude toward that person, there'll be a healing and a forgiveness all the way around, even if you don't speak to the person. I've had these invisible healings happen with people I wasn't talking to. And it's quite remarkable when you send thoughts. But the anger
part. Cool.
Hanging on to the anger, what you said about your cholesterol recipient test subject. Hanging on to anger actually does, they've proven, breaks down the synapses of the neurons and the connecting neurons in our body, the parts that we need to heal our cell work, our cellular molecular structure. And so there's a definite connectivity. I saw this great movie I love so much, What the Bleep Do We Know? And it's about that very thing, that your thoughts and your emotions have a lot to do with your health. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
Wait, there's a movie like that?
Oh my God. Susie Porter, if she's there today, she'll know what I'm talking about. A lot of people love this movie. There was a famous, I'll send you the movie link if I can find it. There's a famous molecular biologist, physicist in Japan, Dr. Emoto. And he did tests with an electron microscope on the molecular structure of water molecules. And he studied what happens to a water molecule when you curse at it, play violent music and hatred, and you just, there's this violent outburst of, good machine gun fire. The water molecule structure, destructs into chaos. Then he played Mozart and did prayerful, beneficial words over the water molecule under an electron microscope. And it became the most perfect snowflake with the structure of beauty, harmony, and perfection. So this is an actual study done by a famous physicist in Japan, Dr. Emoto, the water molecule tests. And if our body's made up of 98% water, 95% water, what can our thoughts do to our body? You know, violent ideas, violent thoughts, hatred for your fellow man, taking a machine gun to, you know, just the idea of slaughtering another creature or hating anybody is not in our nature. It's not our divine nature. Our nature is to be happy, harmonious, free, joyful.
Absolutely. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I've never seen that study. Yeah.
I'll post the link and send it to you. I'll let you talk from now on. I just want to finish one more thing. We're not saying we don't believe in medicine or vaccines or anything like that. We're saying that prayer is an additive. Sometimes you don't need the medicine after you've done, you know, enough. Like the other day when I had that healing, when I was in joy, when I was in my state of happiness, when I was doing the work I love to do, my headache went away. I had a footache that was like a really bad toe problem, gone, because I was in my blissful state. So think about that.
And you know what? I think that you're absolutely right. And I challenge people to go back to that spiritual gift test, because when you're in your realm of what you're gifted to do, it makes us happy. It makes us happy, you know? Well, I lost my train of thought of, I wanted to go back to the holistic, because you said we're not taking care of the body and medicine and all that. And that's true. It's holistic. Once again, body, mind, and spirit. All three of those have to be in balance.
Whole body, mind, and spirit. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you have a perfection body that you work out and it's really solid and everything else, but you have a mental health illness like schizophrenia or something like that, that's really a mental health illness, you're still not going to be, you can't be whole without all of those parts being maintained, right? Yeah. The same thing, if your mind is really good and you're really sharp and you're really, you know, your mind is solid with things, if you let your body go and you eat 500 donuts a day and you're just sitting on a couch, and it's kind of like, your mind can be very good, but your body isn't working appropriately for you. Does that make sense?
I can't eat donuts all day. That's all what I wanted to do.
I'm kind of doing that myself anymore. Yeah, I get it.
No, I do.
But I want to tie this into God Shots, since that's the name of our podcast.
Yeah.
And I think when there's a dimension beyond what we know called the fourth dimension.
Yes.
And it's real. It exists. And we can't experience that, you know, and it just happens sometimes serendipitously. I have had it happen most often when I'm in prayer.
Yeah.
And I call it prayer, but some people call it meditation, talking out loud. You can put whatever name that you want to put on it, right? I just say prayer because that's kind of, but basically what I'm doing is I'm talking to my higher power.
Right.
I'm just talking out loud by myself to the universe, right? Like anybody that wants to listen to me can listen, because I need help and I just put it out there.
Right.
So, you know, the other day, and this is really an interesting story. My girlfriend, that she died about 3 years ago from cancer, and her and I were very close, and she has a daughter that is now, I want to say, Sarah's probably 26 or 27 years old. And she had a job here locally at a university, a Catholic university. They have a sister university in Austria. So our students from that university can go over there for a semester. It's like an exchange type of thing. And she got offered to go there, and she got off. Oh, sorry. Somebody's ringing my doorbell. That's okay.
You have to go answer it.
Yeah, I'm good. But anyway, so she got offered to go to Austria, and she was leaving on Tuesday, and she had brought me back in 2016, a statue from Poland, like a religious artifact statue. And it always sets on my nightstand, right? And that particular morning, that Tuesday morning, it was real rainy here in the Pittsburgh area. And I was on my knees, and I just, you know, you sometimes just get those feelings where you're not as up as you are all the time, right? And I just was kind of like down in the dumps, and I was on my knees looking out the window like this and looking at that artifact she had brought me and just praying for her, because she was leaving that day for Austria. Mm-hmm. And thought, oh, her mom would be really proud. And I was, you know, praying about her mother, you know, and just to being deceased and everything. Long story short, I opened this book, and in the book was a bookmark. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the bookmark and I thought, well, I wonder what I had this bookmarked for. And I look at the bookmark and it's a picture of the relic that I have there, the same exact thing. And I flipped it over and it was my friend's math card. Her daughter that's leaving for Austria, I'm now holding her. And the book that I hadn't had out of my bookcase in like at least a year and a half. So those are the God shots that it's like, wow, I'm hoping that this girl has safe travels and she's safe and has a good experience and praying for her mother's soul. And there it was, just all come together. And I absolutely knew that her mother was around and present and giving information. And I called this girl and I said, Sarah, are you on the plane yet? She goes, no, I'm just getting ready to board. And I was able to tell her this.
So
she left the United States knowing that somehow her mother had came into the picture. Right.
That is a clear God shot. I've had 600 of those in the first 5 years of sobriety, but because I was in the flow, I was, my intention was to be happy and peaceful. And I started having these synchronicities all the time. And I realized the universe is interactive. It wants to show off for us and play with us and give us our dreams, but we're never present enough. Like you were that moment, you were present. That's when spirituality intersects humanity, is when we're in the present moment and we're appreciating yes. life. Then it shows off for us and gives us those little beautiful things we need to sustain ourselves and to get through the hard times, or even just to have joy. Because if we're one moment in the future and one moment in the past, we're in either fear or regret, and we're pissing on today. And yes. and you can't be here now when you're worrying about tomorrow. And believe me, every time I shut off the sunlight of the spirit, it's because I'm worrying or I'm regretting. And I'm not appreciating what's going on right now. But I've had so many of those. Did I tell you the one about the my friend who lost her brother in Iraq in a roadside landmine bomb? He was a Navy SEAL. Now get this. He was a Navy SEAL. He lost his life in Iraq in a landmine. I was so sorry. And she told me a week later that her family was sitting on the beach holding hands in Laguna near the rocks. And they were praying for a sign. They said, just let us know you're okay. We love you, Mark. A sea lion, no lie, a seal, flopped over from the rocks to the circle of these people. And the father, they're very uptight Presbyterians. They don't believe in the occult or anything weird. And they all said, oh my God, that's the cutest, sweetest, most joyous sign they could have gotten. A seal. He was a Navy SEAL. You know, it's like these kind of weird things happen.
Yeah.
And that's mind-boggling to me. But
that is mind-boggling. And that's what we call it. We call it weird things happen. All this really strange coincidence. Yeah. And really, like I think, I love how you say that. It's the universe playing with us. And if we can look at it like that, it's just so fun. And you want more and more and more. And then, you know, like, but here's me. I want more. So when I don't get them as frequently as I used to, then I'm like, okay, why not? You know, because I want them.
I went on a hiatus from spirituality by getting too involved in the news the past few years. And I went, oh, no wonder I have not seen the God shots lately. I have to conjure them up and remember the old ones. And now I'm having them again. I've had a lot of those exact synchronicities you just mentioned, like in a book, suddenly the same thing I just was thinking about, I read the exact sentence. But one time, I remember back in the early days when I was newly sober, I was praying. I really despise acting, the acting career as an the auditioning process. And in my career, when I was I came up in the 80s as a sex symbol. And I remember going to see a casting director for a role when I was 35. And he said, wow, you look pretty good for an old lady. And wow. In that era, you weren't allowed to age past 30. If you're a sex symbol, you have to stay skinny and big. You have to look perfect. And God forbid you gain weight or you look a little older. Until Friends came along, the show Friends, when Jennifer Aniston was allowed to look a little more normal and people were allowed to age a little bit. You're allowed to work in your 50s, even then your 60s. Character actors could always work, like Judy Dench or Helen Mirren or Meryl Streep, but pretty women weren't allowed to age. That's why Farrah Fawcett did the Burning Bed in Extremities. She tried to take her makeup off and do a raw, really gritty role of being raped and all that to get roles, because she was considered just a sex symbol. So to make a long story short, I asked the universe one day, I said, do I have to be an actress anymore? Can I just be a writer? Because I was writing a big novel that was getting a lot of praise on Stalin's Political Trotsky, a thriller. And I forgot the question. I said, do I have to be an actress anymore? Can I just be a writer? I casually was downstairs by my kitchen. There's a bookshelf in the dining room. I picked 5 books off the shelf randomly. I don't know why I picked those 5 books. I went upstairs, put them by my desk, stretched, thought a little bit, and I picked up the first book. It said Lydia. It was Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. I haven't seen my name in a book in years. It's a very rare name, Lydia. It's a weird name. I picked up The Sirens of Titan, or was it Cat's Cradle, the Kurt Vonnegut, Lydia. I picked up the third book, Candide, Lydia. The fourth book, Ayn Rand, We the Living, Lydia. And my name was in, I think 5 books. Every book I picked up, and I went, that's really weird. That's the answer to my prayer. Did I obey it? No. I kept auditioning, putting myself through torture. But I'm writing now, so I'm happy.
That's really cool. That's really interesting. But yeah, it does happen like that. And you know, I don't know how many people, because I can't see what you see on your side, are listening to this podcast today. But it would be really nice if people would send in, even if they want to meet with me and tell me some God shots, and I'll write it down. And as we're trying to put books together and do things, because I mean, there are so many God shots happening and people just might not even know.
And we'll put your name in the book and we'll give you credit, and it's a nonprofit enterprise. So we'll be able to, if you want to do your own God shots book, there's a way to do it. But you're right.
Yeah, because I would just like to, because that's something that I would like to see is, like, I know I'm not unique. And so when I have these experiences, I know that others do too. And I want a platform where people can come and talk about them and get them out there and just know that there's something bigger than us that's controlling all this. And totally. I just like playing with the universe. I really like that.
Playing with the universe. And you know, when it dawned on me that way, I hate to keep talking too much, but I had this, I went to an autistic, to help autistic children for a charity event one day during my divorce. And I was crying and grieving the end of my marriage, even though, you know, believe me, it was meant to end for some long story. But anyway, I thought the minute I was grieving and crying on my front lawn, this butterfly came over and circled my head. And I went, that's shockingly beautiful. Huge monarch. I've never seen a monarch in person, but it was a swallowtail. And I thought, well, that zapped me out of my inner misery by an external beauty, something beautiful in the outside world. It was like nature was trying to get my attention. And I started becoming obsessed with butterflies. A week later, I was invited to an autism event in Del Mar. I decided to go. The gift was a trip to the San Diego Zoo alone. I didn't bring anyone with me. And I went to the zoo that day. And I stayed so present in the present moment of delight and joy. A peacock opened his feathers for me. There was a toddler and I just exclaiming, wow, this is amazing. And all the grown-ups were walking around jaded, looking at their watches. But the toddler and I were like, oh, look at the peacock, you know. All I ever want to see, I wanted to see a monarch butterfly in person. I hadn't seen one. I went home that night, drove all the way from San Diego. There was a monarch butterfly waiting at my front door on a white rose. And I went, wow, what a sweet gift. And that's when it dawned on me, the universe is interactive. It wants to play with us. It wants to show off. But we're never, I was so grateful all day to just be in the moment, like a child. That's when I got this, imagine if I asked for more, but all I wanted was to see a monarch. And I got that monarch butterfly at the end of the day.
And you know what, speaking of monarch butterflies, so when my sister-in-law passed, and she was 35 years old. She passed of cancer. And it was a very sad time for me. And I went to Myrtle Beach because I, you know, sometimes just went down there to clear my head, be along the ocean. I always called it my come to Jesus meeting spot. You know, it was just peaceful. I could be there alone, walk, listen to the ocean. And this one day I'm walking. I mean, I'm down there and it's, I don't even know what month it was, but I didn't know that butterflies hung out on the beach. right? I mean, I guess they must, but anyway, so I'm walking down the beach and I see this butterfly, and Michelle had a butterfly tattooed on her foot. Like, that was the big deal for her, was the butterfly, right? And I'm walking down the beach and this butterfly circling around and it's coming with me. It was like a little dog coming on a walk, right? And I stopped and I thought about Michelle and I put my finger out and I'm like, well, if that's you, and I was just being funny, right? I said, come on, land on my finger. Now, there were people around, right? And I'm standing like this, and that butterfly landed right on my finger.
No.
Uh-huh. I have pictures of it. People took pictures because when I was in shock, and I'm standing there like this, and this beautiful butterfly's on my finger. And I'm kind of going, and people started walking over. They're like, how are you doing that? I'm like, I have no idea. The butterfly did not fly away until it was ready. And when it did, it just kind of lifted off and did a couple loop-de-doos and off it went.
Yeah. There's something about that. Wayne Dyer talks about that in his, I love Wayne Dyer. Daniel Lockwood, you will love this story too. And I got to look it up to find out the whole story. But he said that once you've attained wholeness in the Tao, it says once you've attained wholeness, which means spiritual, you know, joy, everything will flock to you. It's really, and he said, sometimes he said a butterfly can actually land on you. It's been known to happen, he said.
But well, it did.
In a spiritual place where you're the spirits of the dead, we don't know. To me, a butterfly represents a spiritual plastic surgery. If you think about it, it's a transformation because they come from this ugly cocoon through hardship and then they blossom. And if you think about that, a lot of people do see butterflies when people die. And it seems to be representative of the beauty of the spiritual world.
It very well could be. And you know, the other thing about that cocoon, if we try to help them and cut it open to get them out, they'll die.
It takes
that time. It takes that struggle to get out of that cocoon, to leave the warm stage and become the beautiful butterfly. And I think that's the way we are in life.
Exactly.
You know, we're in that cocoon as we have our struggles. And I think the harder the struggles, the bigger the beauty at the end of the day. But it's sometimes very hard to get through those struggles. You know,
I think my whole life has been a struggle up until literally today. I feel like today, every day I learn new lessons and I bloom a little more. I go back a little bit. I went back for a couple of years. I go forward, but I wouldn't trade a moment of that struggle. And I went through struggles no one knows about yet. I've never discussed them publicly. They'll be in the book I'm writing now, and you have too. And you know, anybody in recovery has gone from hell to hell and back, really. You know, loved ones dying in our arms, people that we never thought we'd lose, just terrifying, terrifying self-sabotage and near-death experiences, suicidal depression I went through. But I'm just saying, I don't think I trade a minute of that. You're right. That birthing process or that transformation process, if anyone cut open the cocoon, I wouldn't be alive. I don't think I'd be here.
And I think it continues. I don't think it's a one-time metamorphosis. I think that we evolve. And then when we've learned that lesson, here comes the next cocoon and the next lesson and the next trial that we're going to go through. And, you know, when you look at the Bible and it says, and I know we don't talk a lot about that, but it says in there, count all things for joy, right? Because even the bad things, there's something good that's going to come out of them if we just hang on long enough to wait and see it.
Oh,
you know,
that's a beautiful quote, scripture. I love that. Count all things for joy.
No matter how it appears to us, because we have only a certain perception. We don't have the 30,000 foot view.
Right. Like Aaron Sorkin even put this scripture in his play, that beautiful To Kill a Mockingbird on Broadway, the new one with Jeff Daniels. My favorite is, weeping will last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's like these trials are temporary. Don't cling to them like they're so real. Don't give them so much power. You know, really the good is what's really real. But if we keep looking at the bad, we're going to magnify the bad.
And I know that, you know what, I'm as guilty as the next party that gets stuck on the hamster wheel.
Me too.
Right? It's like something happens and it feels like it's just forever, forever, forever. And I try to find my way out and think my way out and study my way out. And eventually I just have to to just be like, you know, I can't do this. I can't look at this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I give up. And the minute I give up, answers come.
Okay. The minute you give up, answers come. The minute I surrendered, the answer came. I didn't have to do the heavy lifting at all. I just surrendered. It's not, we're not meant to carry the burden of the world on our shoulders or all, even our own terrifying burdens. They're not, we have to see them through a different lens and see, just, you know, let it go. Even if you have a terrible debt you have to pay, there are solutions. Just focus on the solutions. Don't take the stress within you. Don't incorporate it into your being. You know, we're not meant to be, you know, heaving up a like Herculean task.
Sisyphus. And sometimes we all do that, you know, because I don't want to minimize. I mean, when we talk about God's life, I think they're fabulous and it's really awesome. Yeah. And to me, it's hope. It's really offers up a lot of hope, right? In a really hurting world, but it doesn't take away the hurt.
No. Sometimes the hurt, you know, sometimes when I'm really grief stricken and wallowing in pain and sorrow, the crying is a catharsis. And it's a poetic, it's kind of like a rite of passage. I'm in the hallway of discovery. When I'm in a hallway where I don't think that there's an end door and a wall, I never think there's a wall in front of me. I always know I'm going down a hall with lots of different doors. I have choices. I may make mistakes, but so what? That's what life is. We wouldn't be in the human incarnation unless we had mistakes to make, believe it or not, and some real tragedies. But in every tragedy is the seed of hope. And I know a lot of people have had gone through some terrifying things lately, lost loved ones and car accidents. And I don't know, but I don't think we're given anything we can't get through. If we cling to the good and if we remember our gratitude, like you said.
And sometimes that's hard to do, but you know what, like right now I've been tasked with, I will just say tasked with, every morning I have to read a positive daily reflection and write down 10 things that I'm grateful for and send it off. Right. And when you really think about it, I mean, especially in the profession that I'm in the medical field, if we wake up and we can breathe without oxygen attached to us or something like that, that's a gift. If you wake up and you can see, it's a gift.
Of course.
You know, and I think that all of those things, sometimes I take those for granted. You know, it's just like.
I have a friend who had his leg amputated. God bless you, Jamie. We're all praying for you. We're trying to figure out a way to, there are solutions to this. But, you know, and my other friend went blind at the age of 52. And I'm sitting here going, I have problems? Nothing is too big. She's actually doing really well. She had to finally give in to getting a CI, I think a dog or a cane, but her vanity wouldn't let her do that in the beginning. But then she found an amazing partner in life and she's having a great life. She's found her second vision. She has a radio show called Second Vision.
Oh, how nice that is.
I love her. We should have her on the show, Kristen. Daniel Lockwood wrote something pretty amazing yesterday about money. And I'd like to, well, it's too long to read on the air, but we should have him on the show to talk about. He writes spiritual books as well, and he's in recovery too.
That'd be great. Today.
Whatever you're doing, it's working.
What's that?
Whatever you are doing, it's working.
Oh, did you say I'm beaming? Is that what you said?
You're beaming.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Maybe I should put my glasses on. I don't know. But thank you. And it's been an absolute joy meeting with everybody again today. And I look forward to keeping these up and, getting this going and putting some things together.
Yesterday, I had to do a documentary interview at the Four Seasons Hotel. And it was so much fun going down to Beverly Hills in this fancy, beautiful hotel that I used to, you know, it's hard to, you have to Valley Park, you have to go in and it's just stunning. And it was such a joy to do it. And I changed my attitude around from being nervous, you know, thinking about how am I going to look on camera. And it's for the Carney Awards, this wonderful award ceremony hosted by my founded by Jim Katz. And they celebrate the character actor. So I got to meet Adam Arkin yesterday. They're going to have Titus Welliver on the show. Jason Kravitz was there. I got to meet Jason Kravitz. He's a character actor. He's been in everything. Adam Arkin, Alan Arkin's son. He's also a director. And I just made friends with everybody in the room. And I took my, I was free of the bondage of self. I actually walked in the room and thought about others, and everything went great. It was like, get off yourself. This acting profession can be so vain and shallow. And then when you think about everyone else, what their needs are. And now I made some new friends, and it was just a delightful experience. Then I met one of my best friends later for dinner. It was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. And sometimes we just need that. We just need our friends to pick us up and hang on, you know? And that works. That works. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing 2024 and seeing where this all goes and getting out to California and seeing you. And
are you coming? Are you coming to the roundup in March?
I don't know about that. We'll have to wait and see. But you know, yeah, at some point we'll see.
I love you, Darlene. You're a wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful gift in my life and to everyone.
And yes, to everyone. I can't see you, but like I said, please send in your requests, your questions, your, you know, contact us. I'll get back to you. It's just, this to me is really awesome to spread the word.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put our email for godshots.org@gmail. It's godshots.org@gmail. I'll put it in the chat and then we'll post this on Spotify. It'll be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, and all the others. But I want you guys to please think about God shots, coincidences in your life that seem uncanny, because those are not just random coincidences. Believe me, they're not. And if you can stay in that elevated train of thought, life will go a lot better. You'll be in the flow. We all suffer tragedies and mishaps and mistakes and accidents, but you don't have to live there. Right, Darlene?
No, you don't. No, you don't. And that's what these kind of programs give you, something to think about to take you out of that lower energy and bring you back into some light. So that's what's exciting.
Thank you. Love you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Okay.